Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Lovely, lovely time of the year we call Christmas. Isn't this a beautiful rendition? My dog wanted to let everyone know at that particular moment. this is actually pretty damn cool, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Kind of a different... different intro into the what we call the shit show.
Can't even hear it.
I know you can't. That's a surprise. I'm glad that couldn't be heard at that point. Round yon,
round
yon, round child.
Oh my Jesus.
All right. Could have gotten really bad.
It really would have.
It's pretty cool. Kind of a different way to bring in Night of Living Dreads podcast. Yeah. Myself, Otis B. Dreads, Mrs. Dreads, of course, Jackal Monkey in the background, cackling like a little fucking hyena.
Jackal monkey.
Cackling like a jackal monkey. He's a cackling monkey. He's a cackle monkey.
Always. Cackle monkey.
Cackle monkey.
Now
cackler. The cackle. I don't know. I guess, you know, there's a reason that we're playing this little dark version of Silent Night. This is actually, I think, maybe our first, seasonal podcast that we've done.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of good,
This year.
Well, this year. I mean, there's a lot of good Christmas horror movies out there. And I think this is maybe the first time that we have, we've talked about anything like that. So, pretty cool. Episode 85, 86. Where are we at, Jody?
85.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, I think you're lying.
Look.
I know. I ain't got time for that. Anyway, that's how we roll. Night Living Dreads podcast. That's right. NightLivingDreads.com. Dreads with no A if you're not familiar with how we spell shit around here. Join us over there on Facebook page. Open group, public group. It's not private. But you may find some patients running around with their privates hanging out, and that's not our fault. And they will make noises just like that. As you can see, this podcast is already down the fucking shitter. Down the fucking
down shitter. The
shitter. Right down the fucking shitter right there. No, we got I think we got a pretty good show lined up, guys. I'm pretty pumped about it. It was supposed to be another topic,
yeah.
Which, you know, I don't think we'll put out there yet. You know, we were going to talk about one particular true crime serial killing type subject, and you brought this up to me, Jackal Monkey, and we're going to talk about the Killer Santa. And the reason that we're going to talk about Silent Night, the movie, not Silent Night, Deadly Night, don't get it confused. This is the one with Blowtorch Santa on the front. It's the cover of it. And came out in 2012. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's actually, I'm going to say probably in my top three favorite horror Christmas type movies.
Definitely.
And there was obviously, there were others. They say this is a loose remake of Charles E. Sellier Jr.'s 1984 film Silent Night, Deadly Night. So it's kind of said to even be a remake. Okay. Yeah, whether that's true, I don't know. And the sixth and final installment in the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise. So that, you know, I don't know.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, you. I mean, we've seen Silent Night, Deadly Night, but not in the. You know,
seen all the other.
This one though has almost, like I mentioned, is kind of loosely based on our, I guess you could say, our main topic, what we're going to be leading into. And that being Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, the Killer Santa. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, yes.
Jody just rolls her eyes right now. I got to listen to a whole podcast of toilet flushing.
Toilet flushing and fart sound.
Right, I know.
There we go. It has begun.
It has begun. Oh, man, I'm getting over a cold, so I apologize for, like, sniffling and whatnot. But, yeah, this is a really, really good it's got a great cast. You know, at first you think, all right, is this one of those, you know, I don't know, cheesy, you know, type movies? No, we have actually, you know, a pretty good, you know, lineup as far as actors. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Malcolm McDowell.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
and if you don't know who the hell Malcolm McDowell is, well, I don't know where you've been. You know, so, and then it's also has, is Ellen Wong that also played in, what was that other movie we were discussing? That she was in?
Jamie King. She was in,
Jamie King, yes.
She's in My Bloody Valentine 3D.
The 3D version, right. Was kind of like the newer, updated version of My Bloody Valentine, but then they turned it into like a 3D kind of deal, yeah.
It's actually a sequel.
Oh, okay, all right.
The funny thing is
we own the hard copy. I didn't even know what the fuck we bought.
It's a damn good movie. It's a damn good movie. I was shocked because I didn't watch it for a while, and then I was like, it's just one of these shitty remakes. Because for a while I was on this, you know, hate street for remakes, you know, because that's all they were doing. Hollywood was just cranking out remakes of old films, you know.
Yep.
And so I refused to watch it, but then to finally watched it years later, and I was like, oh, well, son of a bitch, it's actually good.
It's not that bad, right? I mean, they'll surprise you. They'll surprise you every once in a while, and... You know, I was kind of actually, you know, surprised with this one because I wasn't really expecting a whole lot out of this. And then I watched it.
Yeah, me neither.
You see a Santa Claus with a flamethrower, and you're like, oh, this is going to get ridiculous real fucking quick. You know what I mean? But it actually wasn't. Let's actually start with you, Jackal Monkey. Why don't you give us a little rundown on really just, you know, the story, the plot here, and then... Give us your thoughts on this. What we talked about earlier could be honestly a new cult classic.
Oh yeah, definitely. It starts off. There's a deputy missing, and one of the other deputies is called in to work on Christmas Eve, And apparently she's, you know, been through something because she's like, you know, it's been a year since I've been without my husband. And yeah. Man, the sheriff's like, yeah, Malcolm McDowell. He's like, yeah, well, I guess I'll see you in here in a little bit. Yeah, and it's like, no, oh, well.
Zero fucks given, right? Okay, enough chitter chatter.
We already know how what kind of a boss he's going to be. So anyway, she goes into work. And then one of the ladies in town ends up missing. Her husband comes in and reports they're missing. All these people start calling in reports of a sadistic, you know, of a Santa Claus, seeing him doing all these random things. Come to find out, she ends up going to an abandoned house, finds the deputy strung up with Christmas lights, and he's been electrocuted. And then the woman that the deputy was having an affair with is all chopped up, and it looks like somebody, whoever is being naughty, is being killed. he's got his own sadistic naughty list.
Right, yeah, it's a naughty and nice
after people. Right. And he goes after this little girl. She's this terrible, terrible bratty teenager. And I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I know she's, you know.
Was she even a teenager, though? I mean, she looked like she was about, like, 12, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I would say. She looked like she was maybe, like, 10, but they were saying teenager. But wow. Regardless, he don't give a shit. He stun guns her to death. She's foaming out the mouth. I mean, he gets a fire poker and rams it through her skull.
Actually the first time that I cheered in the movie. Because that little girl, teenager, whatever, she played just that typical bitchy little girl. Do you remember that part, Jody?
And the
mother. What's funny? What made me think when I first started watching this that it was going to be kind of like fucking cheesy. It's because the mom's sitting there. You see her hand shaking in the close-up of her hand shaking. She's getting her fucking pills out, right? The kid comes up and smacks it out of her fucking hand. She was like, that was my heart pills. And it was like, really?
It's like, come on now.
I mean, you know, at that point, you're
like,
kind of...
I don't give a shit.
I know, right? It was like, take me to the fucking mall. You know, I mean, she didn't say all that. Take me to the mall, and I want this and that and whatever. And go get your purse. I'll be waiting in the car. And the mom just like, okay, right? You know, it's like, oh, come on.
Jesus Christ. But yeah.
She got tased to death. And,
she got tased. Fucking fire poker through the skull. And then he goes on further of a rampage, starts kills the mayor, strings him up, chokes him to death with Christmas lights, finds his daughter, who's like the town whore, grabs her.
Dressed in the little skimpy Christmas.
The little slutty thin outfit. He had a naughty list. He was going after people that were shitbags.
That's how that little girl in the beginning would have ended up if she would have lived, just like the mayor's daughter, personally.
Exactly. So she tries to run off. He throws his axe, clips her Achilles tendon.
Oh my God, that was brutal.
Grabs her, impales her on those antlers. Jesus Christ.
Real quick, but because you're a special effects guy, what did you think about the practical effects in this, man? Because I thought they were pretty brutal. They were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly where I was just about to come to. My favorite part of the entire movie was her boyfriend. After he fucked him up, got him down on the ground, he's coughing up blood. He stands above him. It's got his axe. And there's no cutaway, no anything. It's just full-on shot of his head just getting split in two. Beautifully done. It was awesome.
I agree. Mrs. Dredd's, what did you think of it? You like this one?
Yeah.
You're a little more critical sometimes with the The Christmas ones. Sometimes I can deal with the cheesy ones. You seem to have a, you don't have much boundary there when it comes to the, no, you don't have a whole lot of give when it comes to, oh man, if it's cheesy. Mm-mm.
No, I like it. Honey is one of the better ones made.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Compared to some of the other ones we watched, it's pretty good.
Well, and did you,
yeah,
you do?
Yeah, it was a lot better than what I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
Whenever I started watching it, I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot better than I'm pleasantly surprised.
Exactly. I watched it again earlier, and I was like, man, I had to tell everyone in the group, our little admin mod group, I said, I think this is one of my new favorite Christmas horror movies. I mean, this, it was an entertaining watch. You weren't like bogged down by bad acting, by, you know, really just cheap bathroom back alley type special effects. You could tell they were done really well. Lighting, the lighting too. I wanted to mention the lighting.
Yeah.
One of the things that stood out to me is just little subtle things. Okay, you got old dude that plays Grounded for Life in that sitcom, the dad, really funny guy. I can never think of his damn
name.
Yeah,
I cannot think of his name for the life of me. Yeah.
But yeah, he was a Santa, I guess. He was on like, you know, he had some time on the shelf on probation or whatever. I don't know. He had a record. He gets thrown in jail towards the end, and there's kind of like this, you know, little cut back and forth between Malcolm McDowell, the sheriff, and the actual killer. Killer Santa inside the sheriff's department, and where Malcolm McDowell is, it's all red. And then it cuts back to old dude in the cell, guy from Grounded for Life, and it's all green. All the lighting is green. You know, it's very Christmas.
Right.
And I just thought that was really brilliantly done. You know, I mean, it was just something that I guess a lot of people may not pick up on, but I think it was pretty fucking cool to me.
Yeah, just like little nuances like
sure.
that. Yeah, little things like that. Yeah, right.
So,
and yeah, I don't want to spoil the rest of the movie for anybody. But yeah, he ends up which will end up going into our next story. He goes in with a flamethrower, like a homemade flamethrower, and just torches the police station, like engulfed it in flames, like. Yeah, it was. Like you were saying, it's definitely in my top five Christmas horror movies for sure.
And you know, it should be on everyone's list of you know, horror Christmas movies. I think to watch during this time, you know, along with all the other ones. Krampus is always, you know, a favorite of everyone's. And
as long as you watch the right Krampus.
I mean, you watch the very first
Krampus.
One. The very first
you
one.
You watch these dumbass ones that are out now, like Krampus Unleashed and all them. They're
Krampus.
Yeah, they're
this time it's personal.
Yeah.
Those are so stupid.
Krampus, the Pumpkin Spice Massacre.
Right.
I don't fucking know.
They always come out with some ridiculous shit. Yeah. But
now this was a very entertaining watch. I think on all aspects, the way it was shot, the caliber of talent that you had as far as the actors and actresses, special effects and the gore. I think you really got the total package here. Let's just start with you, Jago. Out of five skulls, what are you gonna rate this one, man? What are you scoring it?
I'm gonna definitely give it a five skulls for sure.
Right off the rip.
Yeah, like I was saying, I didn't mention one of the kills, which is definitely the absolutely most brutal in the film.
Brutal.
I'm gonna save that for the listeners.
You definitely
gotta watch this, but it's one of the most brutal kills I've seen in a horror movie, and in a slasher movie. I've seen a lot of slasher movies.
It's a good
I've
one.
Seen quite a lot. Yeah,
it's a good one. Mrs. Dredds, what do you What are you going to give it? How many skulls are you giving this one?
I'm going to give it 4.
You're going to give it 4? Why only 4? Why?
Because, like Dom said before, it's, you know, you say 5 for those, like, extraordinary movies.
Okay, yeah, movies. I got you. Okay.
I mean, it's a good movie, and like you said, it should be on everybody's watch list, because it's worth the watch.
I think, you know, and it's funny, because I'm all, like, I guess playing devil's advocate, like, well, why not 5? Because I'm only giving it 4.5. I'm giving 4.5 skulls. But, I think that, I mean, it almost got a 4.75.
It's damn good. I personally, I love the hell out of it.
Yeah. No. It was very entertaining. And again, it's something that I think all the dreadheads should and all the patients should at least request that the white coats bring a copy of this into their cell and allow them to feast their eyes on it, because it's a good one. It's definitely a good one.
What about you? I mean, do you got a top 5 Christmas horror list?
Well, I'm gonna say, I mean, I didn't think about it. You kind of put me on the spot there, so I haven't really, you know, thought about it. But there are a few out there. You better watch out. Is one.
That's one of your top ones?
No, well, I'm saying, no, I really dug that one,
though. It was good.
That's the Babysitter one, yep. Right? Yeah, I'd have to say that would be in my top 5. As far as what,
right on,
where at in the top 5, I don't know yet. I'll give you 5 movies that are in my top 5. I just don't know where they're at. You better watch out. Black Christmas is another one.
The original Black Christmas?
Yes. Yeah, the old one, the 70s. Let's see. Did I mention Krampus? The first Krampus yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. There's 3. Of course, Silent Night, as I mentioned, and you know, I do like also Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, they're pretty common among, I think, in the horror community, that if you ask anybody, 9 times out of 10. Yeah, most of those are probably going to end up in everybody's, you know, maybe top 5. At least a couple of them, anyway, I would think. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah.
Now, which one's the one with the toy? Definitely. The toy maker.
No. Yeah, which one was that? The one with the toy maker?
They worked in the factory.
Yeah, because, see.
Silent Night, Deadly Night?
That is Silent Night, yeah.
I'm 90% sure that's Silent Night, Deadly Night,
what
part
is
5.
The reason I asked that is because what's the one with the little boy who sees his parents get killed by Santa Claus and ends up becoming the killer?
That's part two. Yeah.
I'm confused. That's my number one. Deadly Night, part 2.
That's a good one.
That's my number one. My number 2 would be Krampus. Just because, I mean, it's got the comedy. It's comedy horror. It's a perfect blend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. It really is. Yeah.
My number 3 would be Silent Night. My number four would be Gremlins. I mean, as terrible as that sounds, as cliche as it, you know, but I would definitely go with Gremlins as my number 4. It's got to be on the list. And number 5 would be Santa's Sleigh with Goldberg.
Oh, God, I know.
Where is the killer? Like I said, this one is one that's, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's so fun. Like, I mean, Santa's, like, drop-kicking people and picking them up and body-slamming them on down the Christmas table. I mean, it's
the wrestling moves weren't hid very well, I'll put it that way.
I mean... So that's definitely my top 5 Christmas horror films.
Again, some good ones. Yeah, absolutely. You want to give us yours, Mrs. Dredd? What would you say your top 5?
I can't say that they're in this order, but
okay.
I would go with Black Christmas, Krampus,
okay,
Silent Night. I'm thinking that one of them would probably be All Through the House.
Oh, why didn't I think of that? Yeah. Like, God damn it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be in my top
five.
See,
one of the first ones that came to my mind, like, with Jackal Monkey is Gremlins.
Yeah, and see, I haven't even seen that one yet.
All Through the House?
Yeah, All Through the House. That one's definitely going to be on my watch list here.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I mean, I really like the Santa mask.
Yeah,
he's weird.
You showed me the mask. The mask looks creepy as hell. Yeah. But, I mean, we're spooky 24/7, 365 here, you know, at my house. So,
right.
I mean, even during Christmas time, we're watching Christmas horror movies. So, I mean,
yeah, no, exactly.
trying to watch at least one every day. So,
All right.
Definitely gonna watch that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Did you name all five there?
Yeah, because I said it came to mind like it did with Jack.
And then
Monkey
All Through the House
Gremlins.
Was the last one, right?
No, Gremlins.
Yeah. Oh, Gremlins. Gremlins, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Gremlins, it's a classic. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Gremlins.
No, absolutely. So now we're gonna switch gears ever so slightly. Because what, you know, a lot of movies that are out there, I think one could say, you know, a lot of times are loosely based, if at all, loosely based on, you know, possibly, you know, real happenings, real situations. This is one of those. Silent Night, the movie we just talked about, got pretty good ratings. I think, you know, overall... agreeing to, everybody should go see this, is loosely based on something that happened on Christmas Eve, 2008. Oh, yeah, Santa came, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Santa came with some semi-automatic weapons and a homemade fucking flamethrower. Say blowtorch. Which would have been brutal. We have to get all like close to him. He's got a lighter and a can of Aquanet.
Oh, it's a big ass blowtorch.
And I'm talking about the what's known as the Covina Massacre. Again, that happened Christmas Eve 2008 in Covina in the suburb of LA. And 9 people were killed, either by gunshot wounds or the fire that occurred. Because again, he went in there and he did some damage. And it wasn't like the people were random.
Mm-mm.
But we'll get into all that. You brought this up to me, Jackal Monkey, because like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, we were going to talk about, you know, a completely different person. You brought this up, and I'm like, oh, it's perfect. It's our first real kind of seasonal true crime type show. This will be awesome.
Right.
What did you think about this guy? Because he seemed pretty, you know, pretty well off, well to do. He had some bad characteristics, you know, like, you know, fraud and things like that, you know, but I mean, he really had, you know, the world was his oyster at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, everything was going good. And then, you know, he lost his job. And then he's, because of that, you know, he started having all kinds of financial issues and marital problems because of the stress and everything else. So.
And I don't even think I gave his damn name.
Bruce Jeffrey Pardo.
Yeah, Bruce Jeffrey Pardo. He was only 45 years old when all this took place, and the victims, he knew all the victims. They happen to be his in-laws, for the most part, I think. And
they were his ex-in-laws.
Ex-in-laws, yeah.
And all of their family members, yeah.
Right. It was, but the thing is he dresses in a Santa Claus suit. And actually about a month or so prior to that, see, in California, he would visit this this gun shop, and California law requires that, you know, you can buy a handgun, but you have to wait 30 days to, you know, buy another one. You can't go in there and buy like 16 fucking handguns or something. So, and that's pretty much what he did. He went there, you know, bought a gun, bought a 9mm. I think he paid like $1,000 for this 9mm. Went back like 30 days later or a little over 30 days, bought another gun. He ended up buying what, like 4 or 5 guns at this one particular place?
Yeah, 4, yeah.
And, you know, he had, let's see, when he went into this place, he went in with a gift wrapped package containing a homemade flamethrower on a trolley and 2 9mm semi-automatic handguns. He also had 2 additional 9mm handguns in his possession.
Mm-hmm.
There was an 8-year-old, his 8-year-old niece. I guess that would be what, well, is that his sister's? Or, I mean, or is that, was that his ex-wife's family?
Ex-wife's family.
Okay.
Yeah, his ex-wife's sister's daughter.
Yeah.
She had answered the door whenever he had arrived.
It's kind of brutal. Can you imagine being 8 years old? There's a big Christmas party going on. Everyone's happy,
yeah.
You know,
and it's a kid, and you open the door and you see Santa Claus.
And it's fucking Santa Claus.
Yeah, she thinks he's there to bring gifts.
Right. Oh, he brought some. All right.
Yeah. Straight brutality.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He immediately pulls out 2 handguns and shot her in the face.
Yeah, grazed her.
Shot her in the face. I got a, while we're talking about Katrina, got a small little clip here. It's about a minute long. Katrina survived this. 8 years old, you just got shot in the face by fucking Santa Claus.
Yeah, it grazed her.
It just grazed her. And she's actually, you know, she's, you know, she staged and, you know, a walkout at her school. This was, you know, a few years ago. And, you know, in hopes to bring about awareness of gun violence. I mean, 8 years old, you're shot in the face by fucking Santa Claus. I mean, my guess is that belief is over at that point, right?
Uh-huh, you would think.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see it. Let's take a listen to this.
During a school walkout, Katrina Yusef-Polsky read the names of the 17 victims killed in Parkland, Florida, 1 month ago.
Nicholas Warren.
Gun violence is personal for the LaSalle High School student. Nearly 10 years ago, she survived a Christmas Eve massacre when she was only 8.
Being able to really fight for something that is truly, truly close to my heart is very different.
Here's the thing. Looking at this clip, this little YouTube clip, you would never guess she was even shot in the fucking face. It must have just barely grazed her. Or if she had to get any kind of plastic surgery done or any kind of reconstruction, they did one hell of a fucking job. It doesn't look like, you know, there was a whole lot of damage. She don't look like this even happened to her. And granted, she's, you know, it was like 10 years, you know,
right.
At this point. But good shit.
It happened at her family's home in Covina when her aunt's ex-husband, dressed as Santa Claus and armed with 4 semi-automatic weapons, began shooting before setting the home on fire, killing 9 of her family members. Yusef-Polsky was shot in the face.
It's not something that I needed to know all of the details to. I just knew I had to keep fighting, and I knew I would live my life to the fullest for each one of my family members. And
Here's the thing. I have to stop her there because you can listen to some of the 911 calls, and I'm sure you've probably heard them, Jackal Monkey, the 911 calls where I think it's her mom is on the phone, and she was like, my daughter is laying on the ground. I think she's been shot in the face. There's blood everywhere, and God damn, that's got to be horrifying. Right. Needless to say, I think her mom was like next in line to be, you know, shot and killed.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how many of my family members have been killed. It's just us. She's like, oh my God, there was like 25 or 30 people in there.
Right. Who knows how many is, you know, dead. Strange, but this young lady, my goodness, Oh, no. Yeah, I see what she has to say.
And everybody affected by gun violence.
She hopes to help others fighting the same battle and credits her mother's faith with shaping her perspective.
Especially with Christmas time, it's been something of light now. It's something my family continues to celebrate instead of look down upon.
Her classmate, Isabella Mares, Pasadena's 100th Rose Queen, asked Yusuf Polsky for help. The two shot this video asking others to join them.
We want it.
That'll be enough of that. But, you know, courage, I guess, at its finest. I mean, 8 years old, and you're just shot, you know, skimmed your face, shot at your face. But they said he pulled two handguns out. How do you miss an eight-year-old? My guess is you're probably pretty, you know, close, like it's point-blank range type deal, you know?
Well, I'm pretty sure also that, like, yeah, that was the thing, too, is he also, as far as I know, had a drug problem, so yeah. He's probably railed up on coke whenever he did that.
That's actually what was said. He did go on a huge coke binge and, you know, was hitting him. And he, you know, as some of the party goers, you know, were trying to leave the house, he was just indiscriminately firing at them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone. Some of them, the police speculate that he killed a lot of these people execution style and just, I mean, that's pretty brutal. And then again, he takes out this homemade flamethrower and starts torching the fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
But they said there was some sort of explosion.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because it was flame or not. Yeah, it ignited something with the fireplace.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that there was one later on after that because he had escaped. And part of the Santa suit had melted to him,
yeah.
Actually, during the fire.
Right.
But,
That's
after all
crazy.
That, they found, he strapped the $17,000 in cash, and then his rental, the rental car that he had, it was rigged with a black powder explosive,
right?
With a bunch of ammunition rigged to it. So,
didn't he say he had seven guns or something strapped on him too? That he had enough room to have seven guns strapped to him.
Well, he was a big guy. He was about like 6'4", 6'5", something like that, like 200 and some pounds. This was a pretty big guy. So he had when his Santa costume made, he had to get it big anyway because of his thing. But he got it a little extra big so he could carry all this shit underneath, and it didn't poke out. So it was very calculated. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, he killed himself.
Well, right, yeah. He got away and then ended up going to his brother's house.
It was his brother's house.
Yeah, he planned on running to Canada.
Yeah.
But, you see, and that's the thing, he thought about getting away, you know, trying to escape in Canada, but I guess, you know, the more he started thinking about it, you know, he... Either his conscience got to him or something. He took his own life at his brother's place.
Yeah. And, you know, he was going through, you know, some tough shit. Here's a little clip explaining some of the shit that was going on with him. Losing his job, going through a divorce,
Authorities say in the months before his Christmas Eve rampage left 9 people dead, including his ex-wife and many members of her family, Bruce Pardo saw his life going up in flames as well, with a failed marriage, the loss of his job, and financial burdens that were so severe, he asked a judge to have his ex-wife pay him support and cover the attorney's fees he picked up during his divorce.
Good Lord. I mean, you gotta be desperate, man. You're like, come on, judge, will you please make her, you know, pay me money to pay off my lawyers and everything, and you know, I could kind of use a new shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. You're pretty bad off at that point.
Pardo originally planned to flee to Canada following the Christmas Eve attack. However, the Santa suit he was wearing that night melted on his body.
So he couldn't go to Canada?
I guess he was afraid, you know, that people would spot him and be like, holy shit, you know, it's the Santa killer. There he goes right there.
Ho, ho, no. Oh, my.
Yeah. Right down the shitter.
Talking about his old flamethrower.
He suffered severe burns when he used this device to spray high octane fuel inside the home and then set the place on fire. Authorities say his rented compact car was rigged to set off 500 rounds of ammunition.
Jesus.
They say no one was injured when it exploded at his brother's home.
500 rounds of ammunition once it's fucking detonated. So if anybody detonates this, man, you got 500 fucking rounds coming at you. Chance of survival is probably pretty slim to fucking none, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so.
God.
Turn anything damn near to Swiss cheese. I mean, shit.
Right? I mean, you're just riddled at that. But, you know, luckily nobody was injured. It was detonated. Nobody was injured.
Where Pardo shot and killed himself after fleeing the crime scene. Police also found $17,000 strapped to his body that they believe he planned to use to fund his escape to Canada.
But my Santa suit burnt to my arm. Go to my brother's and blow my face off.
Friends say he gave no sign he was on the verge of murder, and authorities say he had no previous record. Sophia Manos.
See, it could be the Santa next door to you.
Yep. See, it's another one of those deals. Like we were saying, like it's not like a terrible upbringing or anything. You know, like Henry Lee Lucas or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was just a shitload of stressors all at once, just like bam, 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 bam.
Yep.
And didn't he say somewhere that he had a plan to kill his mom too?
I think I did hear something about that. Yeah, he was gonna kill his mom too. He was just gonna go ape shit. He was gonna go ham on pretty much everyone and then flee the fucking country.
Yeah.
Try to get a bunch of money so that, you know, and then try to flee to Canada.
Right. In a Santa suit.
I mean, $17,000, that's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money to try and flee, you know, a fucking, you know.
To Canada. I mean, shit.
At least go to Mexico.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, hell, there you'd live like a fucking king.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go to Canada.
Yeah, that wasn't thought out too well.
No, it wasn't. Well, I mean, it didn't end up too well either. One last little clip that I do want to play is some of the 911 tapes, and this is something that, you know, I think when you listen to, you can really kind of, you know, wrap your head around what the fuck is going on. If you're thinking about, as we listen to it, as I listened to it earlier, it was like you listen to it and you hear the panic and the woman's voice. You know, I mean, he's running around, he's in the house, he's shooting fucking people. And then you think that, you know, put yourself in that situation. It's pretty fucking terrifying. And with that being said,
the chilling call to 911 reveals the Christmas Eve terror inside this Southern California home.
What's your address? Ma'am, I understand. I need to know your address.
The caller identifies herself as Letitia and says the gunman is her ex-brother-in-law, Bruce Pardo.
Yeah, was it Katrina, the one that got shot in the face, mm-hmm. the 8-year-old? That was her sister, right?
No, it might have been.
Was her mom.
That was her mom. That's right. Yeah, Letitia.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm straight now.
I heard the shots and they were like poppers and I wasn't sure what it was. So everyone started panicking and running. So we all dove under the dining room. Some of us dove, some of us left. I don't know.
Letitia and her wounded 8-year-old daughter fled to a neighbor's home and called for help.
My daughter's been shot. face on the side, and she's bleeding.
You know, I let the officers know. The officers are making sure it's safe for the paramedics.
I need a bandage, please.
Her daughter is one of three.
So my daughter's been shot in the face. She's lying there. There's blood everywhere. She said, I need a bandage, please.
They were at a neighbor's house.
I need a bandage.
Right. Got a Band-Aid?
They were at a neighbor's house.
Oh. When that was going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I get that part. It's pretty terrifying, though.
Yeah, it's...
Ooh. Injured survivors. Just this afternoon, police named the nine people believed killed. They include Pardo's ex-wife, her parents, her sister, her two brothers and their wives, and her nephew. The victims were so badly burned, they will have to be identified by dental record.
See, don't ever shit on a homemade flamethrower.
No, it wasn't the straight up flamethrower that killed him. No. It was the explosion.
The flamethrower could have been the incendiary.
I'm sure it helped.
Right, yeah. Fucking homemade flamethrower. Fucking MacGyver over here.
I don't know who else is alive.
I know, ma'am. Just stay on the phone with me, okay?
My whole family, there's 30 people, 25 people.
I know.
A family wiped out by one man with no history of violence.
No fucking history of violence. And that was kind of like what you were just alluding to. And that was that, you know, you normally hear somebody that does something like this usually comes from like a horrible background. This guy has no history of violence. I mean, he's not a violent
person.
Right. And this guy has none. Pardo has none. He may have a little.
Right,
he may have a few things like maybe some, you know, corrupt activity or something, which I think is how he lost his job. There was some theft going on, but nothing violent. Nothing in his past would ever lead one to believe that this guy is going to go on a shooting rampage dressed in a fucking Santa Claus suit.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly. That's just straight like, oh man, he just went like straight wackadoo right now.
Yeah, his brain broke. Like,
his brain broke. Oh my god!
Like
yeah.
after that's because it happened a week after his divorce was finalized.
I think it was like the 19th or something or 17th or something that is his divorce was finaled, and bam, shooting rampage. Yep. I bet you a lot of people probably haven't heard of this guy. Is what I'm gonna say. I don't know. I hadn't heard of him.
I hadn't heard of him.
I'd only heard about him because of the movie. You know what I mean? Like because I saw the movie, you know, quite a few years ago, and then read up on it, and I was like, oh well, wait a minute, hold on, this is loosely based on a true story. What the hell?
Right.
So you know that Santa Claus killer. So I looked into it, and I was holy shit.
Yeah, I had no idea, honestly, that this was, that Silent Night was even based off of anything, true story at all. I had no clue.
Yeah, this one was. Right. I mean, that's how I was saying. Like, I don't really see how this one. I mean, other than, you know, it's a Santa Claus killer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
I don't
he
see
does
it,
use
see
a
really
flamethrower. You know, I guess they use certain aspects of the Pardo case.
Oh yeah. That's where it was just very loosely, I guess based on it. But yeah, man, it was crazy. Crazy, crazy shit.
I can't help but keep thinking about when you're fucking 8 years old, shot in the face by Santa. What'd you do last Christmas vacation? Well, Santa Claus shot me in the fucking face with a 9mm. What'd you do?
And then went around and killed the rest of my damn family.
I know, right? Yeah.
Like Jesus Christ, that's what's freaking terrible. Like, it's not just a place where you're at, where a shooting's going on, which I mean is that's fucking terrible enough as it is, but it's in a place where all of your family members are at. So the dude that's killing him, he's killing your fucking family. Like, that's gotta be brutal. Like,
yeah, I mean, you just lost your grandmother, your grandfather, your mom, your sister, your brother, you know, your uncles and shit like that. You know, who do you have fucking left? You damn sure can't. You know, Krampus. I'd start looking into Krampus. He'd probably treat you a little fucking better.
Right.
It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Don't look at me. Jody's giving me a very, very evil, evil eye. Not sure what she's thinking over there.
It's like, no more Santa Claus. Give us Krampus next time. Fuck this.
No doubt. All right. Well, the outro has been
implemented.
It was the white coats, I promise. Well, this episode didn't go down the toilet too much. Mm-mm. It was pretty good. Thank you, guys. Another great show in the bag. And we will talk to you guys very, very soon. Very soon. What'd you say?
I said you'll talk to me in like 5 seconds.
No, I ain't talking about you guys. Oh. I'm talking about any, you know, all three listeners. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
No one knows. We're going to die.